Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. We're thrilled to have you here on Blog Talk Radio with Holiday Mayhem, a guide to a great season. And us starting a little discombobulated seems absolutely appropriate. And I want to talk about Holiday Mayhem by telling a little story. So the way this story goes is, my major fear is height. And what do? When you have a fear in the world of personal transformation is you face that fear. And so I have some good friends back in the 1970s who said, Bob, why don't we go skydiving? What a great opportunity to face my fear. Little did I know what it was going to yield. Because you go out and we spent 8 hours training on how to jump out of a plane. And we practiced on a platform. And they told us that with this big pack on our back, which was the parachute, we were to sit at the door of the plane. We were going to step onto a platform. And the platform that we were stepping on the ground was somewhere around 1.5 to 2 feet wide, square. And we were supposed to step out on this platform. They said, look at the horizon. They said, grab the strut of the plane. Make sure that your hands aren't like this, because that'll foul it and throw you off when you jump. Hold your hands like this. And then we were to simply jump off. Count 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000. And then our chute would have automatically opened because it was a static line. And we were to then grab our toggles and enjoy the ride down. What they didn't prepare us for was when the moment came to get into the plane, that four of us were going to be packed into a plane and the only person with a seat was going to be the pilot. So we were sitting on tin as our Piper Cub rolls down the grass runway. Runways aren't like O'Hare Airport runways. You bounce down the runway. And eventually, after one of those bounces, you're up in the air. They also hadn't prepared me for the fact that my friends would disappear one at a time out the plane door as the plane vibrated in its flight. And the jump master sitting up front with the pilot calls me forward. They hadn't prepared me for sitting at the door of the plane and looking down and seeing toy-like houses 3,000 feet below. They hadn't prepared me for the prop wash that was going over 90 miles an hour trying to blow my feet off of the platform that was a fraction the size of the one on the ground. And as I'm trying to get my feet onto that platform, the jump master is yelling at me, and I grab the strut, and I'm carefully moving my feet around. Oh, I forgot to tell you, the jump master pushed me in order to get me to reach out for the strut. And he's screaming at me, jump, jump, jump. We're going to miss the jump area. I have no clue what happened next. The jump master said it looked like I was trying to swim back into the plane. I know he was telling me the truth because my shins were black and blue. But the chute opened on its own. I grabbed the toggles, and it was cool. And it was just like you could pull on the toggle and turn, and you could see 360 degrees around, and it's just kind of a sound. Whoosh. Get down to the moment of landing. I land. Roll the way I'm supposed to roll, grab my chute, and I'm back and ready for the next jump. I get into the plane for the next jump, and we go on up. Same thing happens. My friends disappear. But I think I'm ready this time. Not really. It's just as scary. They tell you things like to look at the wing, look at the horizon. You're supposed to look at the wing and look at the horizon when you're 3,000 feet above ground looking at toy houses, and the wind is coming at almost 100 miles an hour trying to blow you off of the little postage stamp size platform that you're on. At any rate, once again, I had no clue what happened, but he said it looked like I was once again trying to swim back in the plane. But just as before, the chute opened, and it was a thing of absolute and total beauty. And remember, we're talking about holiday disorganization and mess and how to keep yourself focused in the holidays, and I'm coming to a point, but we're nowhere near it yet, because as I'm landing, you land at about 15 miles an hour with a parachute. That's pretty fast. And a friend of mine, Jerry, is standing down below saying, "Bob, look." Well, I lose my concentration on landing, and the wind is blowing me backwards. My heels hit. Instead of landing in the way I'm supposed to, I blow backwards, and I land on my tailbone, and it feels like my tailbone is going through my head. Well, in shock, some people become like comatose, and some people become abusive. I'm of the abusive sort. The first aid wagon is coming out to pick me up, and everybody is afraid because they know I've just landed very badly. And as they get out of the wagon to pick me up, I'm cursing at them, telling that they are the stupidest MFs I've ever met, that this is the most GD ridiculous thing I've ever done in my life. And they truck me back in, swearing at them the entire way. I'm supposed to do a third jump this day. My jump master says, "No way am I ever going up in a plane with that man again." He has to do ground school all over. Another one of the jump masters, more benevolent and kind, said, "I had the same problem. Let me take you up for the third jump." In the third jump, we had a dummy ripcord. So we were supposed to do all the same things, only when we jumped off the plane, we were to go 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, and pull our feet together, pretend we're pulling a dummy ripcord. And he says, "I want you to put all of your anxiety on getting that dummy ripcord." So we go up. I'm ready for the wind this time. I know it's a postage stamp size platform. I grab the strut and I step off and I go 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000. Impeccable. Reach down, grab my dummy ripcord, pull it up, and pretend I've just opened my chute. The point of the story is having the dummy ripcord allowed me to focus my anxiety on one of the main points we're going to make about the holiday. Focus on one thing to keep yourself organized during the holidays. We call it an assignment. We're going to give you an assignment to help you focus in any circumstance. When everybody is, if you're a woman and the guys are all mindlessly, or a man and the guys are all mindlessly with their beer in their hands, watching and periodically erupting in yells and catcalls, watching the football game, how do you keep oriented? When the kids are all ripping the presents apart like a bunch of little land sharks, how do you keep yourself focused on meaning and what matters in the season? If you don't happen to be someone who celebrates Christmas, how do you make meaning for a holiday that is not one of your own that you celebrate? So we're going to be talking about assignments and ways to focus our anxiety, to keep ourselves organized in the midst of mayhem for the holidays. And so I'm pleased to have you with us today, and our first caller is David. This is Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright. David says, "I don't like the holidays, so I feel uncomfortable celebrating with others." Tell us about that, David.
Well, I kind of grew up going to, you know, three different Christmases, and my parents were very active in the community, so the holidays were always rushed for me, and it wasn't really about one family. It was about, you know, doing multiple things with other people and kind of just spreading everything really thin. So I don't know. There's several reasons that I don't really like the holidays, you could say. And so I've never really found it enjoyable. And you could kind of say that to the effect of, other holidays as well. But I just feel like we miss the point of the holidays a lot of the times, and it just becomes this big circus. And I just kind of wish I could skip over it altogether sometimes and just not do it. So I find myself kind of coming up for reasons to avoid holiday engagements. And
That's a perfect example of holiday mayhem, and it started in your childhood.
It probably
had to do with your family playing politics and trying to spend time with each person. They'd never say that they were playing politics. They'd say that they loved and cared for each of those people. But the truth of the matter is they were afraid that if they didn't give equal time to some of them, that those people would then condemn them. So there was kind of a cloud already hanging out over the holidays, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and so you were like a tail on the dog that gets wagged, and it felt pretty helpless and powerless, didn't it?
Yeah, you could say that.
So, but what you said to me was interesting. You said that there is a legitimate meaning to the holidays for you. What is that legitimate meaning, David?
Just kind of a time for everybody to stop what they're doing in life and focus on each other and, being grateful for family and friends and kind of just going back to the principles of, holiday community and giving. And I don't know, I always see it as a time to just get together and relax. It's almost like a vacation or just to take a breather. But my experience, every year has always been chaotic, as I said before. So, yeah.
Well, so you heard my story about the skydiving and the dummy ripcord?
Yeah, I did.
Good. Because I'd like to have you consider a couple of dummy ripcords that should help you create moments of peace and meaning and contact. And so I'd like to propose that when you see people, even if you know them and have seen them every week or every day for the last year, what if you ask them, let's talk about your year and what you've liked about it and what you haven't liked. And then get them talking about their year. Maybe they'll ask you to share about yours. Maybe they won't. And then do what it is that you're saying. Tell them what it is about them that you appreciate.
Okay. That's a good idea.
So things are still going to spin, David. But this gives you moments of stillness with another individual. So your agenda is to have as many of these still moments with others as possible throughout the holidays.
Okay.
Good. Does that sound like that? Okay, good. Well, thank you very much, David.
Sure.
Have a great holiday season, and I wish you a great new year and everything positive for your growth, your development, your consciousness, and love in your life. Thanks very much.
Okay. To you as well. Thank you, Dr. Bob.
Thank you very much, David. You're on Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright. Thrilled to have you with us for Holiday Mayhem, a guide to a great season. I think David was a perfect caller to help us get started on this. And our next caller is Alex, and he says, how do I make everyone happy when I don't have the money to buy the gift that I want to buy for them? Alex, talk to me about it.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Good, thank you.
So basically, like every Christmas, it wasn't a tradition in the Soviet Union, right? We didn't have a god. So we didn't exchange gifts as much as a kid. I was growing up getting the gifts from the government, let's just say, simple gifts. And it was enough. It was good. But now here, tradition seems to be pressing for a gift for everybody. And I'm not a gift giver. And, like, I don't want to give, you know, some trinkets that people will just put on the shelf and just,
well,
like, yeah, okay, good. You know, but
Alex,
I want to give them.
Alex, hang on. You need an accurate self-assessment. It's not true that you're not a gift giver.
Yeah, maybe I rush into identifying myself as that, to giving gifts. I always have,
well,
like...
Well, you bought the commercial idea of a gift, Alex, because I know from how you were at our holiday celebration that when you sang the song and pimped me mercilessly for 5 minutes, you were giving me a wonderful gift.
Yeah, so I'm talking about material. Yeah, I'm pretty good at giving gifts.
Who cares about material gifts? That doesn't matter. Why don't you tell people straight out, you know, I'm broke this year, and besides that, I really want to know what it is you would like from me in the coming year.
Amen.
And you
tell
them what you've appreciated about them in the past year.
Oh, cool. That's right. That's nice. Yeah, that would be the perfect way.
Yeah, isn't that really what matters?
That's true, actually, yeah. Yeah, being seen by other people.
Yeah,
yeah, I appreciate it.
And say,
sorry,
you know...
Yeah. Go ahead.
Say, well, you know, until recently in my life, I didn't believe in a higher power. But now I believe in a higher power, and I believe that you are a gift to me from that higher power.
That's cool.
Is that true for you?
It is true, yeah, it is true. I mean, you are, personally, you are a gift. George is a gift. The whole Wright Institute is a gift from a higher power, and I appreciate it. I guess the only way for me to express it now any best way possible is to say that out loud. And I want to buy a car for George, you know. I want to buy certain things for people. I just can't buy it yet, but I will.
What a great gift to say, George. You know, I'd really love to buy you a new Ferrari, but quite frankly, I'm a few dollars short, and I don't want to give you anything less than a Ferrari.
That's
so
right.
What I'm going to do, George, is tell you what I have appreciated about you in the past year, and I'm going to ask you what you'd like from me in the coming year.
That's right. That's cool. I'll do that.
And tell him that you know, he would really give the Ferrari back to you anyway, so it's immaterial.
That's right. I got you, Bob. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good. Thank you very much, Alex. Thank you. You know, I think this is, you're on Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright. But this is a very common dilemma. We think that we're supposed to have things. And that brings to mind the story of the littlest angel. And some of you know it, and some of you haven't heard it, but I think it's always good to remember it, because this little boy died. He was about 6-7 years old. And he's in heaven. And the word goes out that God's going to send his son down to earth. And he wants people to bring birthday gifts. And the littlest angel goes, well, I know exactly what to get for the Son of God. And he goes and he talks to St. Peter. He says, St. Peter, I've got to go down to my house and get a gift for the Son of God. St. Peter says, okay, I'm going to give you a dispensation. Sends him down. And he goes under his bed and he pulls out a little box. And in the box is a collar from his dog that died, and a stone that he thought was really cool, and a bird feather box, and he hugs it to his chest, and he heads back on up to heaven, and the day has come when everybody is bringing their gifts to God for his son. And the littlest angel gets in line and sees all the tall adult angels with gold and frankincense and myrrh and all kinds of fine things. And he feels little, and he feels insignificant, and he wants to hide, and he wants to run away, but he doesn't know where to run because he knows he's got to give a gift to God's son. And the line is getting shorter and shorter. And just as he decides he's going to turn around and run, one of the bigger angels behind him bumps into him, and he falls forward at God's feet, and his box falls open. God reaches down, picks up the littlest angel's box, scoops up the dog collar and the stone and the bird feather, puts them back in the box, and prays over the box, then breathes into the box, and the box begins glowing. And God shoots the box up to the heavens, and that box becomes the Star of Bethlehem that leads everyone to the Christ child. Whether you believe in Christ or not, doesn't matter, because we all feel little and insignificant. And we all think that we should give a bigger, better gift than the gift that we have and that the gift of us. But each one of us is the gift. And isn't that really what we need to remember over the season? Because if we forget that each one of us is the gift, how are we going to recognize that each person we see is the gift to us? Incumbent on us to remember that we are the gift, that they are our gift, and whatever thing we give people to unwrap, you can tell them, this is just a token of my appreciation of you. Something for you to enjoy. But what I really want to let you know is that it's you that I appreciate, and here are the things I've appreciated about you in the last year, and I'd like to know what it is. You've given me a fine gift or not, doesn't matter. I'd like to know what it is you'd like to have from me in the coming year, because I want to be able to hold you in my mind and in my heart, and I want us to be connected throughout the coming year, blessings for each other. I mean, isn't that really what we're talking about? It really what matters, and understanding that each one of us feels not good enough, each one of us feels like we're wanting. Humanity has been feeling wanting forever. We even have a story about our inadequacy that goes back to Adam and Eve, that Eve suffers in childbirth because of original sin, and that Adam has to struggle in the field. We all think that if we didn't have to struggle in the field, that would mean that God loves us, or if we didn't suffer, that would mean that God loves us. Unconsciously, that is. But what if we use this holiday season, Muslim, Buddhist, Jew, Christian, atheist, what if we use this holiday season to really think about our past year? To think about each person as we see them in the past year and something we've appreciated about them, and share that with them and ask them what they would like from us in the coming year, or what they would like for themselves in the coming year, so that we can hold them and their yearnings in our heart, and that we can become transformational agents with each other, because very few gifts are ever going to bring about transformation or bring out the best in another person. If anything, the gift can dampen another person's gift. Of course, if you give a camera to a photographer, that helps them leverage their gift. But if you tell them what about them you appreciate that in them, that's going to help them use that camera a lot better. So, you're on Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. Let's make it about bringing out the best. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright. Thank you for calling in. Michelle is our next caller. And Michelle's mother has set a boundary, saying that she doesn't like touchy-feely conversations. But I'm still hungry to know her more. How can I use the holidays to deepen my relationship with my mother? Well, for starters, Mom, beans. because there is no conversation that matters other than touchy-feeling conversations that make us uncomfortable. But what I am going to try and do, Mom, is make you uncomfortable in a way that isn't going to scare you. Because I'm going to talk about what have your best holidays been. And I'm going to use the holidays to find out what your dreams have been in your past. And I'm going to use these holidays to get to know you and your hopes and your dreams and your fears as much as I can without bringing up once what you've done wrong with me, without bringing up once what you've done wrong with anything. Because I really want you to have this holiday season to be one to celebrate me and the fact that I bring up these uncomfortable conversations, Mom. Michelle, talk to us about it.
Well, maybe I'm done now after what you just said. That's fantastic. You know, it's been really, you know, like for most people, a mixed bag with my parents. And I've tried little things over the years to, like, you know, Christmas time, like have a little piece of paper that, you know, you draw a little piece of paper out of a hat that's a question, like, you know, what was your highlight from last year, or what, you know, what are you looking forward to next year? And you just answer the question just to kind of like get us talking. And, you know, I've gotten responses like, I don't know, or, you know, just like either they really don't know or they just don't want to play to that extent. And so I kind of, you know, gave up doing that sort of stuff. And as I've started trying to just express more like, you know, what I'm feeling in the moment with my parents, I've had my mom say to me directly, like, I don't like conversations that are like the kind you like. I like ones where we just hang out, we have a drink, we just, you know, we're just together, but we don't talk about stuff. So, you know, I asked what you had to say about, you know, but this is me. This is what I want, and this is what's meaningful to me. And I'm also not going to, you know, blame you or, you know, bring up something that's going to be painful. But, you know, I think I know enough about her. Like, she holds her cards really close, and
yeah.
There's a lot of secrets in my family. And whenever, even happy things, like, I can just see her struggle with her feelings of sadness and regret and shame that she tries really hard to not feel all the time. So it feels tricky,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, it's very, very tricky. What religion were you raised?
My parents are Catholic, and I've kind of owned a Christian faith a little bit more than they have. They just mostly kind of have the religion of Christmas and good times, I think, at this point. Although, I mean, that's not entirely fair. I mean, they pray. I'm not sure that they have any sort of religious ties at this point in particular.
Well,
but I was reading.
When your family can't tell you what they want, it usually means that there's a belief that wanting isn't okay. It usually means that that to want is problematic for some reason. And I was raised Presbyterian, and currently will celebrate wherever God is celebrated, and my wife wanted us to do Christmas lists. This is probably the first year that I've been able to do any kind of a list, and so it's very uncomfortable for me too. And I was raised to not want, to just be grateful. I'm amazed that families put together lists and kids put together lists of what they want for Christmas. I might have had something I wanted, but I certainly never would have said it. I hoped back then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we need to understand that there are cultures that we come from that have certain rules. But you've got a unique situation that I'd like to dig into a little bit, because one of the things I would say to my mother in that situation, well, Mother, you know that you had me to make you uncomfortable. What was it like when I was born?
You know, what's really crazy is that she was just on the edge of that generation where they knocked her out. She has no recollection of actually physically having a baby.
Oh, wow. So, Mother, you didn't get the opportunity to appreciate the agony of having me. So
right.
I guess now I need to probably help you with a little more agony. And quite frankly, I don't believe in drinking to get comfortable. I believe in relaxing and being genuine, authentic. I understand you don't want me to do that. I understand it gives you the creeps. But I want you to know that I am your offspring. That everything that I am, that I do, that I value, that makes you uncomfortable is a reflection of integrity that you have raised me to live. So I am going to make you uncomfortable this Christmas, but I'm not going to do it in the way that you worry about, where I talk about fears, hurts, and resentment. This Christmas, I'm going to talk about what I love about my life and how I track it back to you. And I'm going to give you the gift of my gratitude. And I am not going to sit around and drink and be unconscious with you. But I am going to continue this holiday to celebrate the gift of life that you've given me and what I love about that life. What?
Yeah, I think that could go a long way to disarming her. I also, like, as you say that, I'm like, oh, you know, I can feel my own resistance to thanking her to that extent. You know, like, I think there's still some resentments that I do have, and maybe this, you know, belief like, well, if I thank her for all those things, then I'm, you know, ignoring, you know, the things that weren't ideal, or kind of brushing them under the rug. And I don't really hear you saying that. I can just feel my, like, no, don't tell her that. That's dangerous to tell her that. Just feel
right.
Scared.
So you can tell her, look, but see, notice how you don't want to let her off the hook. You don't want to let her off the hook because you haven't finished delivering all of your resentments and your hurts.
Right.
And you don't want her to think things are okay.
Right.
The truth of the matter is things are okay and wonderful. And one of the things you can tell her is, you know, Mom, before you die, I want to be current enough to date with you so that there's nothing but love between us.
Right.
And I want you to know that I'm going to give you a break on the things that I haven't liked and the things that were rough over the holidays. But I might have a value on genuineness and authenticity. And genuineness means that I don't deceive. So I'm not going to deceive you. I'm just going to tell you I'm giving you a break for the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be authentic in the fact that it's hard for me, and I want you to know this is a big gift, to tell you everything I appreciate that I got from you, because I feel hurt that you don't want to hear about the whole story. But I understand your point of view. I understand that you haven't decided to address your own pain, let alone my pain. And I hereby declare this a hurt and resentment-free holiday, unless there's something I don't like in the moment, in which case I'll push for what I want. And I do want to spend time talking to you about the gift of life and the gift of how I've lived that life and how I see myself as the logical extension of you and Dad's higher values.
Yeah. No, that, I feel a lot more comfortable with that. That, I do feel a lot more genuine, and, you know, it's less, it's a little less likely to put her completely at ease, but it does feel a lot more genuine.
Oh, no, it's going to make her more tense.
Yeah.
It's going to make her more tense because any kind of reflection is uncomfortable with her.
Yeah.
I'll put money on it. And you can even ask her every once in a while, by the way, Mom, wouldn't you rather I give you a criticism? Just as a joke. Kind of a little sarcastic, you know, it's.
Yeah, just to kind of name what's true, but relieve some of the pressure.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But isn't this fun?
It is. I feel kind of excited about the adventure, you know, trying something new. I learned about what I had done in the past with this, like, hey, let's everybody answer a question thing, is I was kind of wanting to get her to do something she didn't really want to do rather than just being and, you know, being alive there in a way that felt good to me.
Well, I think you're going to find this is something she doesn't want to do either.
Yeah. But that's okay.
Well, but it makes it all the more fun to make her squirm. I love complimenting certain people and telling them how I appreciate them and watching them squirm. And you don't have to lie about it, do you? You just say, look, you have a vacation. My gift to you for Christmas is a criticism-free, resentment-free vacation from me. Beans, we're going to talk. And we are going to talk about the past. But we're going to talk about what I appreciate about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. I'm glad that these are online because I feel like I'd be taking notes nonstop.
Yeah, I think they're going to actually rebroadcast this on Wednesday, too.
Fantastic.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Michelle.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. Have a great holiday.
Thank you. You're on Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio, and we're looking at Holiday Mayhem, a guide to a great season. We'd love to have you pick up and gift others our book, Transformed, The Science of Spectacular Living. We'd also like you to pick up our Transform Bundle. You can give people for $97, which is a discount from 270-some, whatever it is, dollars. It's a discount for our transformation training bundle, and it's originally priced at $297, I see. You can get it online at www.rightliving.com/TT bundle. That's www.rightliving.com/TT bundle. Give it as a gift. It's got online videos and a workbook, and people will get a copy of the Transformed that's out on Turner Publications. We would love to have you check it out and give people the gift of transformation this holiday season. I don't think there's anything better you could give them, because the gift of transformation is a gift of them, and it's about as personal and meaningful a gift as you can give them. Don't forget the code. It's TT Bundle. It's www.rightliving.com/TT Bundle. So, our fourth caller is Etta. She works through the holidays as it is her busiest time of the year. And she wants to make sure that she takes in the spirit of the season. Well, that's a fantastic opportunity, Etta. Talk to me about it.
Hi, Dr. Bob. How are you?
Good, thanks. And you?
Good. So, I am in the beauty industry, so everyone is getting all ready for the holidays. So I often work, these can be like 12-hour days, and even on my days off, I'm often taking in a few more clients. So like yesterday would have been a normal day off with my family. I did 5 hours of hair. And, you know, I love it. I love my clients. And I also know that that's just how this time of year is. So I'm completely okay with that. But then there are times where I get tired or might not feel as ready as I'd like to when we're either entertaining or going to somebody's house for a party or, you know, my husband's company party. So I'm just looking for ideas of ways that I can, you know, maybe either take care of myself better or ways that I can create it so that even though I might feel a little bit more tired than usual, that I'm in good shape and really drinking in the beautiful spirit of the season.
Well, what a wonderful opportunity that you get to have contact with so many people to whom you can show appreciation.
Yeah, I do. I really, it's just such a sweet time, and it's also so sweet because there's just like that extra, it's almost extra because they are all thinking about the special things that they're going to and doing. So there's that extra, you know, oh, will you do that special thing you do with my hair, and, you know, or put a braid in, or, you know, come in for an updo. So times where they even want more attention and love. It's a very wonderful time in the salon.
It's also a painful time for most of them. What if you ask them what the best and the worst parts of the holidays are for them and just get them talking about it?
Wow. Yeah, no, I've never done that. That's a brilliant idea. Wow. Okay. I would be happy to take that on.
And, you know, there's always the opportunity to give gifts to them, like the Transformed, the Science of Spectacular Living book. Great.
Yes,
gift.
Actually,
yeah.
I Many of my clients, I have always extra copies, and whenever we, you know, I have lovely conversations with some of them, and I just feel ever so moved, I just say, you have to read this book, and I give it to them. So, but I haven't got maybe to do an actual Christmas list of my clients and to give it to them. That's a great idea, too.
Well, even if you've already given it to them, you may want to talk to them about giving the gift of transformation to a friend of theirs. And they can buy a book to gift the book, or they can buy a Transform training bundle and gift that to people. And it's an easy one to do. They can go on www.rightliving.com/TT bundle and give people the gift of transformation, the gift that will keep giving not only throughout the course, but of the weekend, but throughout the year.
Okay. Yeah, because I have, you know, you can do that probably. I always have my iPad in front of me because when we're looking at ideas for hair, so I can probably just whip that out right there. We could do it even at my chair.
And have them enter the code blog bundle, BLOGBUNDLE, at www.rightliving.com/TT bundle. And then they put in blog bundle, and that'll get them the discount.
Okay, I will.
Well, now hang on. That was my commercial announcement. I want to thank you very much for helping me with my commercial announcement. So
we've got a
little progress so far. You're going to ask them what the best and the worst part of the holiday is for them.
Yeah.
Now, what if you ask them, just to leave them on an up note, what the sweetest, best, most lovely holiday memory they've had was?
Mm. Okay. Yeah. I like that.
So,
and I think...
So what you can do then is say, now, if you can identify a key quality in that memory... Maybe you can give them an assignment to focus on having as much of that with each person they talk to in the coming year. And then you get to be even more of a transformational agent. And given that I know you've done quite a bit of our training, I know you're capable of doing that. But actually,
yeah.
So is most everybody.
Yeah, I think that's something that I would like. You know, I feel... sometimes, it, you know, I just think it'd be a sweet thing for me to hold then, too. I love those times when you just really connect with your clients. So that does feel very nourishing.
Well, so let's talk about your business. I'm not done yet. So let's talk about your business. What if you let them for 25% or some discount buy a free service for their friends with you that they can gift their friends?
Okay.
You've
got
to have
these
printed out and ready to go. You've got to have a beautiful envelope envelope. It has to be thought out. It has to be a well-designed certificate so that they value it. You should probably have it with some kind of gold or silver or red foil on it.
Okay.
And
that's brilliant.
Oh, yeah. And then you can also include a little sticker for a 50% discount on product that they don't even have to pay for, but it brings new people into you.
Yeah.
And you need a little asterisk on it that says new clients only.
Yeah, of course. That's a great idea. And maybe, I don't know, tell me what you think about this, but maybe if they do that for them, they get some sort of certificate, like 10% off of their next service. Or, you know, so if you do this for your friend...
The minute they pay you their 25% of that service that they're going to gift, give away, they get a 10% discount on their next service. So we have a nice, fun holiday game that builds your business as well as ours.
I love it. Okay. Yeah, well, I have... I can call my designer today and see if we can get something created for this last week and maybe get that...
Fantastic. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
You're on Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Dr. Bob Wright, wishing you a fantastic holiday season. But this isn't always a fantastic holiday season for everybody. When I was in school in Germany, there were people from 17 different countries and 3 major cultures in one of my language classes in Munich. And I did a study on color, and I found that purple and white is almost always holy or royal around the globe. Purple and black is sometimes around death or transition, but it's usually about something very, very important. But there are certain colors that just meant nothing to anybody. Red and green was one of those colors, and most of the world just shrugged their shoulders and went, that's okay. But one person in the class hated red and green. And I interviewed her, and I said, well, what is it? Why do you hate red and green? So why do you think she hated it? She was from New York, and she was Jewish, and she felt invalidated at Christmas every year and unconsciously had begun hating red and green and didn't even realize it was because of the association with Christmas. Let's remember that we live in a diverse culture, that we live with people celebrating Kwanzaa. We live with people who already finished celebrating Hanukkah. They already finished celebrating Ramadan. And there are so many beautiful ways that people worship God in our culture. What if we really stay sensitive to that? What if we really show people that we embrace the diversity in the United States? Let those reactionary buttheads go and do whatever they want to the rest of the world. But you wouldn't be listening to this if you were one of those reactionary buttheads. I would have turned you off a long time ago. You're listening to this because you are a human being who wants to be the most loving, transformed human being that you can be. You're listening to this because you want to be the most conscious human being that you can be. And isn't it conscious to be aware that not everybody's celebrating the holidays and people have diverse feelings of being hurt? And even those that are celebrating the holidays have a great deal of sadness coming up. So let's just remember that we're going to have a more conscious, more inclusive, more embracing holiday season. And our fifth caller is Justin. He's been having a hard time staying positive during this time of year. But how can I use the holidays to keep myself lifted?
Hey, Bob.
Maybe you don't need to be lifted, Justin. Tell me about it.
Yeah, thanks for taking some time to talk here. I've been having, you know, just a tough time around the holidays here. I had a recent car accident and have just been having a hard time kind of keeping myself positive. And I'm going to these holidays events, and I don't feel like Scrooge in terms of, you know, being upset about the holidays, but I just notice it takes a lot of work for me to kind of get myself to feel positive or feel good about the holidays like I remember. So I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts on how I can, just get myself more excited or motivated or joyous. I feel like kind of a Debbie Downer.
Quite frankly, if we were talking and we weren't having a limited period of time, I'd actually ask you to first tell me about all the downer parts of it, because I think you need to honor the pain. I'm not comfortable trying to help you ignore the pain, because my assumption is as you embrace the pain, it will resolve itself and you will come to something new and different. So I think this pain is part of your gift. And what I wish to you is that you embrace the pain fully until you come to the other side of it, whether it's your rage, whether it's your fear, whatever it is. I really want to celebrate you as a human being who's living life fully, who had the courage to call in and talk about this downerness. And once I had enough time to listen to you and see what happens as you let your fear out, as you let your hurt out, as you let your anger out, my guess is you're going to find that you feel a lot better. Because after that car accident, wouldn't you like to have punched somebody in the nose even though it was your fault?
Yeah.
So I'd give you a Bobo doll to slug until you just could laugh as you beat the crap out of it. So.
Oh, that's great. That's so great.
Well, but isn't that part of it? I mean, even though it's
yeah.
your fault, you want to hit somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So ask a few people if they'd be willing to step in the boxing ring with you. Just make sure they're smaller, less agile, maybe of the feminine persuasion. No, never mind. I think I didn't say that. But then, I want it. You know, it's very easy to feel that we're poor in the United States. But do you know what it's worth annually just to be a citizen of the United States?
I have no idea.
It's worth $30,000 to $45,000 of things we get automatically that we would have to pay for in other countries, be it roads, tolls, or other things that our governments actually give us already. And we're going to start having universal health care, which I think is totally cool. And we may actually find that we don't need to kill as many people in the world if we're healing ourselves. I don't know. It's a little too political. I'm not supposed to do stuff like that. But I do have a thought for you. Are you sitting right now?
I am.
If you look down, what do you see?
The carpet, my shoes.
What's in your shoes?
My feet.
What are they connected to?
My body.
Your legs. Your legs work.
My legs, yeah. Yeah, my legs work. Yeah, they work really well.
Well, my suggestion is that you then take all of your pain and upset and stomp it out, and then see if that stomping doesn't lead to you dancing more this holiday than any other holiday you've ever danced.
Sounds awesome.
Now, that's your assignment is to dance with everybody you see that you're happy to see upon first seeing them.
Okay. I can take that on.
Now, after you've danced with them, your assignment is to tell them how shitty your holidays are and see if you can do it with a straight face.
Okay. Wow. That'd be really cool. That sounds great.
Cool. Well, thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Bob.
It's been great talking to you, Justin.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
What a good, fun time we've got here. Mark asked a question regarding Alex and gift giving. He says, what about alternative gifts? We also have him online. I don't know what this means that they're telling me. Because they're not giving me the rest of the screen that is popped up there. we have Alex online or Mark online? Mark, let Mark talk, please.
Hi, good morning. This is Mark. Hey, Bob, I have a real problem with how we have moved buying gifts up into prime territory, and it has overtaken Thanksgiving. I told my wife that if I were the elected dictator, I would make a ruling that no store could open until the day after Thanksgiving. But that's not really why I called. But I get angry over that. That is really wrong. But excuse me, I have been thinking about how to make a little more personal and also perhaps focused. And I've been hearing about how one can give gifts to organizations in other people's names. And one thing that really grabbed my attention was something called the Heifer Project, where one can buy a goat and name it for somebody, and then it helps a farmer get a goat for the future. And I wonder have you heard about this? Is this something that you think is acceptable to people? Another thing that I've been I'd like to hear your response to that.
My response is, thank you for that commercial announcement. for the Heifer Project and any other projects you've got. I think it's fantastic. Quite frankly, it's really about showing appreciation to people. And, where I'm at is buy all the gifts you can, help the economy as much as you can. Don't go into debt too far, but remember that it's about people and make the gifts and the money secondary. I'd hate to see the economy take a hit if we all just started telling each other how much we love each other every year.
Okay. I get your point there. And I do like to give gifts, but I want them to be something that speaks about who I am. And also about my interest in the person, rather than just being something out of the store. And
now,
sometimes,
I don't understand. Hang on. Why does who you are matter?
Well, because I'm the one giving the gift, and
Hang on. But isn't your sensitivity to the other person a gift that says something about who you are? Because my wife really worked me over about, I would just go into any store and buy something for everybody. And now it really becomes a job because I have to think about the person. And my wife, I shouldn't say I have to. I want to think about the person. I like thinking about the person. My wife has me addicted to that with her. I love thinking about her. And isn't thinking about that other person always going to be a direct reflection of you?
Okay. I see your point. I guess what I'm thinking about is that I want to also make a gift be unique and not just what somebody else would give. So, yeah, you know what? I have some investment there, don't I?
Yeah. That's fine. You go ahead and do that. And what matters to me is that you remember that you matter, that they matter, and it's us celebrating each other that makes this holiday great. Now, we have to close up, and I'd like to thank you very much for calling,
okay.
Mark.
Very well. Thank you, Bob, for helping me clarify some things here. Bye-bye. Blessings.
Point. I love Mark's point, and I think it's really important. I wish we had a ton more time to dive into this stuff. But you're on Bring Out the Blessed. Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright. Thank you for joining us. Let's remember to be conscious. Let's remember to be ourselves. Let's remember to know other people and learn and grow and be as fully present this holiday. Thank you very much, and we wish you a Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa. We've already missed Ramadan. We've already missed Hanukkah and anything else you do over the next period of time, and a blessed new year.